is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, hoop heads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish home machine. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Coaches, do you have a point guard or leader you're going to be counting on next season to run the show for you? Don't leave next season to chance. Thousands of coaches send their players to a point guard college camp each summer to learn to think the game, lead a team, and run the show. Your players will be smarter, better leaders, and better equipped to foster a championship culture next season in practice and in your locker room. I've seen firsthand how PGC camps have had a huge impact on players and coaches that I know, both on and off the court. You can go to pgcbasketball.com to find a 5-day, 4-night camp near you. That's pgcbasketball.com.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. This is Jason Sunkel once again joined by Justin Matson from the Cavaliers Central podcast. Justin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you again for having me on. Again, we're back on track with Team USA. Another good game here, so happy to talk here about it. Happy to be here.
Unfortunately, both of us only got to see the first half, and when I fell asleep... Well, you watched part of the second half, right, Justin?
So I got about halfway into the third quarter, and that's
okay. So you did better. You did better than I did. We were talking before the podcast that I watched the first half, and I was really hoping that it was going to be, under control, and that I was going to be able to soundly go to sleep. But it didn't matter because I fell asleep anyways because it was just too late, and I had a long day yesterday. Listen. They pulled out the victory. The thing that I took away the most was, oh, Ricky Rubio, you're going to be really good for the Cavs this year. If you could score 38 points. Listen.
He can average that with the Cavs.
He could. Here's the problem that I have is I don't know what the Spain coach was doing in the first half because he was so hot to start and then he pulled him out of the game.
An interesting decision.
And he was out for a good 5 minutes. It was the first quarter, right? Mm-hmm. He played the first few minutes.
Well, he had the first 13 points, and then, yeah.
And then Spain, unless Rubio was like, oh, my God, I'm tired from carrying the team. I don't know that what was said or anything. But all I know is I would have never pulled him out of the game at that point. I wouldn't have done that because he was going, and Spain was actually winning when he was doing that. And then he got pulled out of the game, and they kind of fell apart. But, it ended up being moot because it was tied at halftime, and then we got to the second half in USA. But I was really impressed from what I saw of the Rubio. Now, I will state that some of the defense that was going on was a little suspect. Your take on Ricky Rubio before we dissect Team USA.
Well, Ricky Rubio, making tough shots, and obviously, was getting to the rim and just being, a lot of crafty finishes around there. Getting in the mid-range, obviously, he had the one early on where it was just kind of slop that he threw up that he was making. At this point with that Spain team, he has to carry. You're not getting that much out of Pau Gasol or Marc Gasol at this point. Both of those guys, I thought, Marc especially, played okay in that first half.
He scored zero points in the game.
I mean, he's a ball mover. That's what he does. But overall, they needed Ricky Rubio, and he definitely kept him in the game. And again, I didn't watch the entire second half, but clearly he kept him in the game the whole way. Definitely some concerns in that first half. Again, USA just getting off to another one of those slow shooting starts. Spain getting off to a little bit better start, at least Ricky Rubio getting off to a better start. But, yeah, I mean, 4 for 18 from 3 from the first half, in the first half. Kevin Durant kind of had to save us again heading into the second. But,
Rubio
is good at basketball.
There's no doubt, okay, and listen, I am a huge LeBron stan, okay? There's no doubt in my mind that Kevin Durant is the best player in the NBA right now. I know he didn't get MVP.
I'll still take LeBron as the best, but I would say Kevin Durant is the firm second.
Okay, well, you can do that, but I'm just saying, I think Durant is the best. He's, in my opinion, he's the full package, and he is a toenail away from a toe
probably
away
being
from,
a champion.
from being a champion, because listen, they were not going to lose. Well, I think they would have beat the Suns too. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a toe away from being a champion, in my opinion. So,
you would have gotten a healthy James Harden, hopefully by the finals. You would have had
Kyrie
because
they had a whole like 4 days off right in between,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they would have had Spencer Dinwiddie back in the finals. So
yeah, so I think that Durant's the best player because listen, he can just listen. If I had a gun to my head and I had to pick either LeBron or Durant to make a free throw, or to make a clutch 3-pointer in the last 5 seconds or something, listen. No, if it was a bully ball and LeBron from like 6-7 years ago, I would choose LeBron. But at this point, I would definitely take Durant. And I don't come off. I don't say
well,
that.
Well, if you're gonna ask someone to take a free throw, I might take Durant. But if you're gonna ask someone to Let's say, if you're going to ask someone to play the full game, I'll take LeBron.
Okay, well, that's true. That could be true. Listen, and if we looked at track records for healthy, I would definitely, like, who's more durable? I would take LeBron, too, at this point. I know this last year it wasn't, you know, he wasn't fully himself. But at the same time, like, I just think that, gun to my head, 2 minutes left in the game, who do I want? Do I want LeBron or do I want Durant? I probably want Durant.
That's fair. I mean, Durant, we've seen at the highest level, is a tough shot maker. In a way that, especially from outside, even LeBron, I would say, isn't. I don't think it's that far off, though. And I think, again, like if you're looking at one shot, I don't even think it's... I think it's definitely close between the two. But again,
it's basically 1A, 1B, whichever way you go, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. But I'd still give the edge to LeBron. I think... You can't take what we saw from him the second half of the season because he wasn't healthy.
I think
recency bias has gotten in the way a little bit of that take. And not saying that it's a bad take to have Kevin Durant as the best player because he's phenomenal, but I would still take LeBron, a healthy LeBron. The last time that we saw a healthy LeBron, he was still the best player in the league in my eyes.
Well, no, I 100% agree. My concern is, are we ever going to see a healthy LeBron?
After an ankle sprain, I still think we could see it.
Okay. That's fair. All right.
Overall, though, in this game, I was just going to say, looking at just some interesting things that Team USA did, obviously, again, struggling a little bit with interior defense. I think Draymond Green is kind of getting that figured out. They've kind of figured out how to stop getting, you know, smaller guys switched on to bigs as much. I thought it was interesting that they also, you know, I mean, obviously, this was a game they had to win. They were not going to medal if they did not win this game. But I thought it was interesting that they did shorten up the rotation as well. Like Keldon Johnson, JaVale McGee didn't see any minutes. Grant got in, I'm assuming, 1 minute at the end of the game. Played their bench guys a lot. Jason Tatum, 18 minutes. Chris Middleton, 18. Draymond, 21. Zach LaVine, 20. And then the starters all got, you know, quite a bit of minutes too.
Listen,
well.
I love that Jeremy Grant got 1 minute. That's the best.
I love that. Hey, get him in there. I love it.
I wonder, was it the last minute of the game? I wonder. Did they?
I'm assuming it had to have.
Because he did not play in the first half.
He did not play in the first half. I still think they could use JaVale McGee against a team like this, where, again, you're playing JaVale McGee, Pau Gasol, or you're playing, you know, Marc Gasol, Pau Gasol. Like, there are some big guys here. I feel like, again, like Usman Garuba, like, they're playing a lot of bigs here. Willie Hernan Gomez, like, they're playing, like, three or four bigs off the bench. I just think that it would be... McGee would be playable in this situation. He'd be another big body. I just think that the rim protection that he would be able to provide is something that you don't have when Bam is off the floor. So I understand why they aren't. Obviously, you go for shot making in this type of situation, but I do think he could be valuable when he's out there.
Okay.
By the way, just got to say, I know we're going to get to free agency in a minute, but I love that he's getting more money in free agency than Andre Drummond.
Listen, that is pretty awesome. And the fact that Andre Drummond and Dwight Howard basically just traded spots is pretty hilarious. But anyways, so yeah, we'll get to free agency in a second here. But I want to say, okay, so we said our piece. Team USA was definitely, they played well enough in the second half to win the game. So congrats to them. Let's look forward to the next game. So they're going to play Australia. Is this game a toss-up? Is this game close? Is it Team USA is going to finally show up and just destroy them? Are they going to get up and do that? What do you think is going to happen?
I think it's going to be close. I do. Obviously, Patty Mills is still going to be another problem for them and another team with big bodies inside, whether it be Aaron Baines or, you know, elsewhere. I think, I don't remember who it was, but they just had another Australian guy who just signed a contract in the NBA today. I don't remember his name. Jock Lawndale, maybe. But they have size, and it's going to be an issue for the United States because it has been an issue the whole time. That combined with, you know, it seems like every game, whether it's Evan Fournier or Gabe Vincent or Ricky Rubio, they have a guard, a perimeter guard, go off. Patty Mills is certainly capable of doing that. I want to see Devin Booker getting going a little bit more against Australia. I think they're trying to kind of find ways to get him involved in the game a little bit more. One interesting thing that I think they really kind of started doing the Spain game was even putting Devin Booker in the dunker spot at times and just kind of dumping it into him when they were able to, just to get him, like, not even mid-range shots, but just short jumpers and even some floaters. And just another way to get him looks, give him some easy ones just to get him in rhythm. So I think they're going to continue to try to do that. I think they're going to need him. Obviously, there are shot makers on this team, but if you could get him going as well, you just need all the shooting you're going to get. And if you're going to be playing him 26 minutes, he has to be hitting his shots. So
yeah, no, I completely
agree. It's definitely going to be a close game.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I agree too. And listen, you know, they're going to have to find a way to stop Patty Mills from going off. Congrats, Patty Mills. I think Patty Mills to the Brooklyn Nets, I know once again we're going into the free agency, I think that's a sneaky good pickup for them.
It's phenomenal.
I mean, and they got him for relatively cheap, too. I actually was surprised by that. I thought he would get more than two years, 12 million.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was going to get more than that. Before Rubio trade, I thought the Cavs might make a run at him with their mid-level. I didn't know.
Yeah, that I thought would the same. Too,
but listen, congrats to the Nets. I think that's a sneaky good pickup for them. And, you know, when Harden's out of the game, because you'd have to assume if Harden and Kyrie are injured, you know, then Patty Mills can go into that starting spot, whether it's the one or the two, and he would be really good for them. I truly believe that. So, I think he's, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they play against Australia. And I don't know, do you know when they play? It's got to be Thursday.
I haven't seen. It's probably Thursday.
I would assume that it's Thursday. Let's see if I can. I'll see if I can pull that up here. Oh, Team USA basketball. I'm gonna go on Thursday. Basketball. Ooh, yeah, here we go. Men's USA versus Australia. Ooh, 12:15 a.m. That actually might mean I can stay up and watch it. Sweet deal. Maybe so. I'm stay awake for that Thursday night. So, you know, 12:15 it looks like. So, I'm excited to see it. Hopefully they win. And then I think my true nightmare is going to come true. I think we're going to have to play Luka in the finals because Slovenia looks really, really good. Even if when they win and Luka scores 12 points, but they didn't win because he scored a lot of points. They won because he's such a distraction to the other team. Listen, I'm just telling you, I don't see. I think it's going to be Slovenia beating France. I think they're going to do it, and I'll be excited for that to happen. But at the same time, when they have to play USA in the gold medal game, I'll be petrified as well. Because
I don't want to play either of those teams.
Can they just forfeit or what?
I think that. I mean, obviously, I'm not wishing COVID cases on them, but if something, let's say non-COVID related forfeiture, sign me up.
Okay, all right. So now let's turn to free agency, and I think we're gonna check this a little bit differently, Justin, because we could go through every single trade, and like we've talked about in the podcast before we started recording, then we would be 3-hour podcast, and then Mike and I will probably do the same thing, and then we'll end up being like a two-three-hour podcast, a 6-hour recording. So we're just going to go into it, and we're going to attack it a little bit of a different way. We're going to look at it as two big things. One, the biggest surprise in free agency. And two, the team that got the best and the team that got the worst after free agency. So what team improved the most and what team lost more? So I think that's where we're going to attack it. So let's start with what signing are you most surprised by? And then I'll share who I'm most surprised by the signing.
I think it has to be DeMar DeRozan. The Bulls, after making some moves this offseason, getting Lonzo Ball, which I really liked, getting Caruso just to kind of, you know, further increase their guard depth, going after DeMar DeRozan really, really, really surprised me. And I didn't... I like DeRozan as a player. I really do. But at over a $28 million average annual salary... it sounds like there are some incentives in that as well that'll probably be unlikely to start, but with an opportunity to earn more, that is, I am not sure that he is worth that anymore.
So what you're saying so what you're saying is the scuttlebutt that he was willing to take a pay cut to join the Lakers doesn't seem to be true.
I don't doubt that was true. And then the Bulls offered him $28 million. Would you turn down $28 million? I wouldn't. They gave up Thad Young, who is a fine player, and a first-round pick, and 2 seconds, and gave him over $28 million a year. I wouldn't turn that down.
You're right.
Like, I thought he might be like a mid-level guy. Not because he's that caliber of player, but because the market was just kind of drying up. And then the Bulls just came out of left field with that. I did not see that coming at all. I mean, DeMar to the Bulls made sense, but at this number, I don't know if I like that. That is a lot of money tied up into, you know, Lonzo and DeMar.
Listen, they've got enough point guards now in that place that they're running into the same problems that Cavs have with the four at the forward position before we traded Prince. I think they got way too many point guards. Don't you agree, or am I off base saying that?
I don't think so. They have. At this point, they have Lonzo and, I guess, Caruso and Kobe White. And all three of those guys, I think, you can count as combo guards, as, you know, where they can play on or off the ball. I think any of those three guys can play next to each other. I think any of those three guys can play next to Zach LaVine. Playing any three of them in the lineup, I think Caruso is good enough defensively to where he can do that in stretches. DeMar DeRozan does not fit in great defensively, especially with... Chicago. Obviously, he brings shot making and, you know, still some level of star caliber talent, I guess. I mean, they paid him for that. I think the spacing will be fine around him. Lonzo has proven himself to be a good enough shooter. Obviously, Zach LaVine is a terrific shooter. Pat Will shot well on limited attempts last year. Vooch is a good shooter. So that's not my concern. But when you're looking at all of those guys, when you're looking at LaVine, DeRozan, Vucevic starting lineup, defensively, that's kind of rough. And there are maybe we see Lauri Markkanen go back there. I mean, we're just saying the market really is kind of dried up. I wouldn't be shocked to see him go back at this point, but good Lord, if that's another guy that you're putting in that defensive rotation, it doesn't get much better.
Okay, so then my next question is as follows. Where the Chicago Bulls, where do you see them in the... like Eastern Conference now? Are they the fifth best team? Are they the fourth best team?
I mean, I think
team?
They're definitely... I think the moves they've made have solidified them as a playoff team.
Oh, they're a playoff team for sure.
100%.
I'll say, like, the fifth best team. Yeah, like, there's the Nets. I still think the Sixers are going to be there. There's the Bucks. The Heat are going to be good. I don't know, you know, the Hawks are still going to be good.
Yeah, I think they're
the Celtics are going to be good.
I know. I like that's what I'm saying. Like, I think
the Knicks are still around. Like, they're going to probably be like the fourth.
Listen,
through seven
range. I think the Knicks are going to not be as good next year. I think this is an aberration.
I don't think they are either. I think they had a bad offseason. I think they were also just a. I think that I'm with you on that. Yeah.
So I think they're the fifth or the sixth best team at best. I don't think they're not cracking the top three. They might be able to get to four, but I just don't believe it. So, all right. So
things could break right, and they could get three. I don't think it'll happen. Yeah. I think they'll be a good team next year, but I also think they've kind of capped out as far as like I don't know how far this team can go, and they have invested a lot into it at this point. So,
yeah,
not thrilled with what they've done.
Okay, so my biggest surprise. I have to go with this, and I don't necessarily know that it's really a huge surprise, but I'm going to go with the max contract to Jimmy Butler, and here's why I'm going to say that. He hasn't proven that he wants to stay in a place for a long period of time, and you're giving him all this money, and you know what's going to happen in like 2 or 3 years. He's going to complain and want to get out. Maybe not. Maybe he calls.
Can I offer a counterpoint?
Sure, you can offer a counterpoint. Go ahead.
He didn't choose to go to the Bulls. He was drafted by the Bulls. He didn't choose to go to the Timberwolves. He was traded to the Timberwolves. He didn't choose to go to the Sixers. He was traded to the Sixers. He chose to go to the Heat, and he seems happy there.
But wasn't the Six? Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't when he got traded to the Sixers? Wasn't that like a? Wasn't that like he had to sign off on the trade situation?
I mean, he had to commit to like say that probably. I don't remember the specifics, but he probably he was clearly like okay going there. But even if he was happy there, and I mean, I think the reason he didn't stay was you can argue why. Part of it was that maybe Philadelphia didn't offer him a fifth year, which in hindsight was a mistake. But even with that, I think choosing to go to Miami still, I think he is where he wants to be.
Okay.
Unless this team, falls off the face of the earth in the next couple seasons, I think he'll still want to be there.
All right, listen, that's fair. I just don't know if I trust it. And listen, the Heat made the most moves so far, right? They have to have meant. I mean,
they've made a lot. The Lakers have made a lot, too.
Yeah, well, did you see that the Heat signed Markieff Morris as well?
I did, yes.
So I'm looking at this. The Heat have made 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 deals. The Lakers have also made 8 deals. So it's going to be wild. It's definitely going to be really wild to see how these moves pay off. And some teams seem to be standing more pat than others, like the Knicks are relatively standing pat. Well, they made some signings. Minnesota's literally standing pat. They've made no signings at all. What is going on in Minnesota? Anyways, some other teams, like I was surprised. Listen, Phoenix, I give you kudos. Giving Chris Paul a 4-year deal. I mean, he did great things for you this year, but I think they're going to regret that 4-year deal at the end, but maybe that's the only way they could get him to stay. I don't know how you feel about the Chris Paul 4-year deal, but I feel like that's a long time to give him.
I mean, really, I just don't think that the Suns had a choice. I think it's fair to say at this point that Chris Paul will probably not still be a positive value player on that contract by the end of this deal. But I think a lot of people thought that at the end of his current, or at the beginning of his current deal, and I mean, he proved people wrong with that. So I think it's something they just had to do. They were in a position where they had to give Chris Paul what he wanted because they really couldn't afford to lose him to New York or whoever else. Does this Suns team have enough to, run it back and get back to the finals? I don't know. Probably not as currently constructed. But I understand them having the belief in themselves and they were going to get significantly worse by losing him. So retaining him, I understand. I also think they made a nice move in re-signing Cameron Payne to what they did. I thought $6 million a year was really, really fair value for him. So considering that I thought he might go for a mid-level, if that does seem to be a good value for him, it seems like he wants to stay there, which is a good thing. I haven't really lost anybody other than Torrey Craig yet, which I thought Torrey Craig was a nice player for them, but not the end of the world. And I think
They got Cavaliers legend JaVale
McGee. Get JaVale McGee. We were just talking about JaVale McGee. I forgot about him. I love that. They also re-signed Abdel Nader to a nice little deal. But yeah, I think JaVale McGee, I don't know how I forgot about him, but is exactly what they need as far as just size off the bench, a real rim protector that can play behind Ayton, and just another big body to, you know, make life a little bit more difficult on the Giannises of the world. I mean, they got exposed heavily in the finals last year, and I don't think, obviously, having Dario Saric there would have helped, but I think JaVale was exactly what they needed, and to get him for $5 million I thought was also a very good deal.
All right, so let's go to the next part of the question is, what team, based on everything, has gotten better, improved the most out of all the teams, in your opinion? And maybe there isn't a team that's clearly standing out, but what team do you think, based on all the moves that have happened so far and who they've lost, has gotten the best so far?
I was a little bit skeptical of what the Lakers did at first, trading for Russell Westbrook, just because we knew that they were going to have to do so much to fill out the bench. But I think they have done a really good job filling out the bench. Obviously, getting Russell Westbrook, I don't know if we're counting that as, you know, part of free agency.
Exactly. Well, that counts. Okay,
but, you know, I think even if the fit is as clunky as it is, which I'm not denying that it is, the shooting is definitely going to be a concern with just those three guys alone. But going out and getting, obviously he's not a shooter, but Dwight Howard to just kind of fill in as that backup center again, we're going to see how much he has left in the tank. I'm not really sure. But I think that anything, I don't want to be mean to Andre Drummond, but I think just about anything is going to be better for that team than Andre Drummond, what he gave them. And by the way, how funny is it that after all the years of, like, reportedly being a rivalry of Andre Drummond and Joel Embiid, he's now signing on a minimum to back him up. But, you know, re-signing Talen Horton-Tucker was a good deal. Getting Kendrick Nunn to take a discount, 2 years, $10 million, I thought that was fantastic. Wayne Ellington, a shooter, Carmelo Anthony, obviously we know what Carmelo Anthony is, provides some shooting, not a lot of anything else, a little bit of shot creation, but just cool to see him in LA, I think, if nothing else. Trevor Ariza was a fantastic deal. Kent Bazemore, also really, really good. He could be a starting wing for him. Malik Monk, just to provide some more offense. I think they've done a really good job filling out that bench on cheap contracts, and obviously the Lakers guys are going to want to play for them, especially with the top three guys they do have. But I just think, you know, any doubts that I may have had about them have, you know, started to fade just because they really have done a good job filling out that bench.
Yeah, so I hate to be, like, agreeing with you on this one, but I definitely think the Lakers improved the most. Now, a lot of this is going to be contingent on the fact that those three stay healthy, obviously. That's pretty much everything, because let's be honest, if, like, say the same thing happens this year where LeBron and AD get injured, then you're going to be
still have a chance.
Yeah, then you're relying on a lot of people to pick up slack, especially, you know, I think what hurt the Lakers the most was not the fact that they hadn't played at all and got to the playoffs and weren't in the groove. It was that they fell so far in the standings that they had to be in that play-in game. Because, listen, I know they made it out of there, but let's be honest, if they don't have to play that play-in game and they're the 5 or the 6 and they're playing the 3, I mean, if they're playing the Clippers in the first round, I'm telling you right now, I think the Lakers would have beat them even with a weakened LeBron, because I don't trust the Clippers to beat the Lakers, okay? But them having to play Phoenix in that series and Phoenix just had caught fire at the right time, I just think that's what hurt them more than anything, was they lost all those they lost all those games leading up to the playoffs and fell. Mm-hmm. They plummeted in the standings. I think that's where it comes down to. I think the Lakers have definitely, their bench is better in a sense. The bench is also older though. much older.
The whole team is considerably older, yes.
Okay, but let's be honest. Do I trust Kyle Kuzma, or do I trust, I can't believe I'm about to say this, Carmelo Anthony more? I probably trust Carmelo Anthony more.
I don't really know who I trust more.
Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. Carmelo,
Kyle Kuzma,
baby,
gets too much hate, and Carmelo Anthony's fine.
Did you see his hair this year? Come on. He should get a lot of hate. That hair was terrible.
The hair should get all of the hate that it gets. He deserves hate for the hair, but...
Come on.
Kyle Kuzma is a fine player. He's not... Now, if you were to say Trevor Ariza, not as a shot creator, but I definitely trust Trevor Ariza just as a guy who can stand out on the perimeter and knock down threes more. I really like the game Trevor Ariza.
Is Trevor Ariza's defense good still, or is he
Yeah,
is he
I think it's still solid. I mean, he is going to be like 36, so I mean, it's reasonable to believe that it could start to fall off, but I would say he was still a plus defender last year.
Yeah, okay. All right, I was going to say, I would say he's definitely still a positive defender. I don't know how positive it is, but I think
he is.
Okay, I agree. Okay.
Malik Monk, as a shot creator off the bench, too, I thought was a really nice pickup.
Yeah, and then keeping THT is huge, too, I think. I think that's a huge move for them, keeping him around. Yeah. And all right, so going off of that, so we've talked about what team we got better. What team do we think got more terrible or worse or... based on these things, and so I'm gonna say it, and I think it has to be New Orleans, right?
Explain yourself, because that was not one of the teams that I really had in mind.
Well, because I mean, you lost Lonzo Ball, and your starting point guard is now Thomas Satoransky.
I mean, they got Tomas, and they also got Devontae Graham.
Yeah, but Devontae Graham's lightning in a bottle, right? I mean,
he's a downgrade from Lonzo, but like, I think that's still fine.
I just don't know. Listen, if you're trying to convince Zion Williamson to stay in New Orleans, you got to make big moves. Are any of these moves what you would classify as big? I mean, there's already been reports he's not happy, and his family's not happy with it. Are these moves moving the needle to Zion Williamson staying in New Orleans? I'm going to say no.
Garrett Temple?
No. The answer is no. The answer is no. Didi Lozada?
Hey, I mean, they had him last year. I think he's a nice young player, but...
I'm just saying, I don't think that these moves are like Zion are like... Hell yeah, let's stay. I want to stay in New Orleans for this.
Well, I still think they have some time to figure it out. I think, you know, swinging and missing on, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie and Kyle Lowry wasn't great, but I think...
Oh, and wait, I did forget to mention that their backup center also assaulted a police officer. So
That's problematic. That is problematic.
So, anyways, allegedly assaulted a police officer.
Okay, I've never been the biggest Jackson Hayes guy, and that just kind of... Yeah, that was an issue. But, I don't know if I think they are in the worst position. I think there's a team that will just be a worse team in the standings next year, even though I don't think they've had a terrible offseason. And there's another team that might have just kind of stagnated that I think had a terrible offseason. Can I name them?
Sure, go for it.
So the team I think is just going to be considerably worse next year is San Antonio, losing DeMar. They've made some free agency signings. I don't really agree with giving Zach Collins that type of money. I don't know how he got... I really don't know how Zach Collins got above a minimum contract. He got 3 years, $22 million. That really just did not make sense to me. Like, I get that there's still some intrigue there, but I do not agree at all with paying
him
that type of money.
Listen, he's played as much
basketball... That just seems absurd.
He's played as much in the NBA as you and I have the last year and a half.
Yes. I mean, I just got home from an open gym right before we recorded. I've probably played more basketball than him. I understand the intrigue of a guy like him, but I don't understand giving him that type of money. I guess the Spurs are in a position where they're not going to be competitive and where they can. But outside of that, like, I think they got a great return from, you know, DeMar DeRozan. Like, I think getting two second rounders and a first from him, and also getting Thad Young, who they can either keep or flip, it was really, really good value. I didn't really understand the Doug McDermott signing, giving him $10 million plus a year when, again, like, I just don't think you're going to be a very good team next year. I don't really get what the point of, in my opinion, kind of overpaying for him just because of what he can, just because of what his defensive limitations are. Overall, I don't hate the offseason. I mean, it was a surprise taking Josh Primo in the draft, but I don't hate the direction they're going in. They do have a nice young core there.
They did lose Patty Mills, too. That's another.
They did lose Patty Mills, and that's another, you know, just something that will make them worse, I think, as a team. But again, I understand Patty Mills wanting to go elsewhere. The team's offseason that I have liked the least is the Portland Trail Blazers.
It's because they lost Melo. They lost Melo. That's why.
Well, they lost Melo, but I like them bringing back Norman Powell. I think they weren't going to get anything better than that. But for a team that, I mean, basically what Dame seemingly has said is that this team is not good enough. We need to shake things up. We need to make major changes here. This team is not good enough to win a championship. I want to stay, but we're going to have to do something different. Do you want to know their three key additions in free agency?
Tony Snell and Cody Zeller.
And Ben McLemore.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's a new one to me.
Ben McLemore, always injured Cody Zeller, and Mr. 50-50-100 himself, Tony Snell.
I'll be completely honest with you. I didn't even know Cody Zeller was still in the NBA.
I mean, yeah, he is, and he's been a fine player when he's been healthy. But this is the offseason that you're having, Portland? I don't agree with that at all. Again, I don't even know where the move is supposed to come from for them to shake it up. And apparently they didn't either, because they have had about as boring and as stagnant and as backwards of an offseason as they could have based off of what it seems like Dame has wanted.
Yep. And listen, good luck. Good luck, new coach. Good luck, buddy. good luck, Chauncey. I wish you the best of luck, man. I wish you the best of luck. I could see that. And listen, I was a huge Portland stan all season. I thought they were better than their record indicated. I thought they were going to do well, and just never came together for them. And the fact that there were times this year, Justin, that Melo was their third best player. Okay, mm-hmm. Think about that. There was a game that he scored like 16 straight points. I remember that game because I was texting Mike about it.
Against the Cavs where Melo went off.
Mike and I had a running joke because I never was a huge Melo fan, but ever since he came back, I all of a sudden, just for some whatever reason, became the conscientious objector, a huge fan of Melo, and. The fact that I was complaining that he wasn't getting more playing time. That tells you the lot there's we should be concerned about for the Portland Trailblazers. And the fact that they lost him and replaced him and Gary Trent Jr. with Cody Zeller and Tony Snell and Ben McLemore is concerning to me. Very, very concerning. Yes.
I would have liked Tony Snell and the Cavs, by the way. I'm kind of disappointed they weren't able to play.
Okay, so let's end with one more thing. I didn't prompt you with this one, but we're gonna go the Cavs. Okay, so they obviously signed Jared Allen, $100 million, 5 years. All right, we got Ricky Rubio. We have that 9.5 trade or that 9.5 exception. When does that expire?
They lose a little bit of it as the season wears down. I don't know why I can't think of the word that I'm looking for, but like
it degrades. I don't know. If that's the
yeah,
word you're
sort of.
For.
I it's not the exact word, but basically, it's not a trade exception. It's their non-taxpayer mid-level, so they'll have it the whole way through. But
got it.
Prorates. It prorates. That's prorates. What I was
yeah,
trying
prorates.
To say.
Okay. Yeah.
That's like the official term.
But they have to use it by. They have to use it by the end of this season to use it. Right. It goes away after the.
Well,
end of the season.
They have it. They have it every year. How a non-taxpayer mid-level exception works is every over the cap team gets either the non-taxpayer or the taxpayer. If you are above the cap, but far enough below the salary, like the luxury tax apron line. You're able to use that full non-taxpayer mid-level exception. If you're above that, or like using it would put you above that, then you get the taxpayer. But that's something that every over-the-cap team gets every year, so it's not like it's going to expire. Teams go without using it all the time.
I feel like that guy who you had on your podcast yesterday who said, I'm not a numbers guy. I don't know, who was that, Justin, or was that the other guy?
Justin Brownlow,
So when he said, I'm not a numbers guy, you guys are better than that with me. That's how I feel right now, because everything you just said to me makes sense, but at the same time, I'm kind of lost. But I understand what you're
basically
saying.
Basically, they have spending power in free agency to where they could go out and sign someone, but they don't have to use it, and they'll still have it next year. So
okay, got it.
They could
right,
use
so,
it or not use it. It really doesn't affect things. But at this point, I don't think there's anyone else on the board to use a full mid-level on, so...
Okay, is there anyone on the board you think the Cavs are still going to attempt to sign at this point?
I mean, they're going to have to get somebody to play, I think, at kind of that 2-3 wing position, preferably a shooter. Just about every single target that the Cavaliers had coming into this has flown off the board, which is a little bit disappointing. It seems like, you know, Plan A, Plan B, Plan C, and Plan D have all signed elsewhere. I guess, and I'm not thrilled about it, but again, like... Getting Ricky Rubio was important. I mean, that was probably more important than any free agency signing that we could have had. I don't think it's a disaster that they haven't been able to get anybody in free agency as of yet. I think Bryn Forbes is a guy we could see in Cleveland, just again because he's a shooter at a position of need. Doesn't solve any of the defensive issues, doesn't solve the real shot creation issues, but just can space the floor and obviously just won a championship. That's valuable in a locker room. So I would say that's a guy to look at. You know, before today, I would have said Malik Monk. I would have said Tony Snell as guys who, you know, just would be able to play there. At this point, I'm not sure. They might just kind of roll with Jetty. We'll just have to see. But they'll get somebody, I'm sure, at some point here.
Okay. Yeah, I hope they get someone. Listen, I think. Listen, I was so impressed. I listened. I don't know if you listened to the.
Langston Galloway is another guy who I think.
Ooh, Langston Galloway. I like his first name. Like I like
Langston. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, like, anyways, I listened to do you listen to the mismatch on The Ringer with Kevin O'Connor?
I do not. No, I have occasionally, okay. But I didn't listen to it recently.
Kevin O'Connor's, they put an episode out today, and when Kevin O'Connor says, "I'm actually going to watch some Cavs games this year. I'm intrigued by their team." I was like, "Well, this is a national media guy saying that. That kind of makes me feel a little bit better." But at the same time, I don't know that. I mean, I know Mobley's definitely, hopefully, going to be an upgrade, but I don't. And Rubio's definitely an upgrade over Dellavedova. So theoretical, Cleveland Cavaliers should be better. Do I actually trust that they're going to be better? I don't know.
Well, I think they'll be better. Now, will they make the playoffs? I think that's still to be seen. The thing about the East is, the Cavaliers are one of the teams that got better, but there are a lot of mid-tier teams that are really going for it right now, and the Cavaliers are playing the long-term game rather than chasing it right now. We've seen...
And I mean, quite frankly, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that, quite frankly.
Yeah, I am as well. I am as well. Like, the long-term vision doesn't change here. Am I less confident that the Cavs will make the playoffs now than I was before free agency? Yeah, kind of. But again, long-term, I don't really think this should change the plans at all. We have seen the Miami Heat push all their chips in. We've seen the Chicago Bulls push all their chips in. And I'm not sure where those teams are going to be 2-3 years from now. I think, you know, they've made some win now moves. So, yeah, I'm not really devastated by the offseason the Cavs are having by any stretch. I mean, getting Mobley is enough there, and getting Rubio has helped. You know, you can maybe look to re-sign. Re-sign Rubio, kind of a tongue twister, I guess. But, you know, might look to keep him around long term, so. Yeah, they haven't made any big moves, and I think they will be better even if it is slightly. And even if that's not enough, I think they're in a fine position moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. So we have a bright future. And by the way, I like JB Bickerstaff. So I'm, you know, I have faith in him. I have faith that he's going to do things the right way. So, and I don't think he's just going to flake off on us in the middle of the season. So I think I don't know who I'm throwing shade at there or not, but I'm excited.
He's not going to call his players slugs. In the film room?
Not slugs or whatever else he said. You mean, I thought it was slugs. Thugs.
It was thugs, and he said he meant to say slugs.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really terrible. That's a terrible thing. Oh, well. He's not our coach anymore. And I want to go on record saying that I really liked when we got him as our coach. Oh, man. I regret thinking that. So, anyways. So
you still want to re-sign Drummond?
Oh God! I'm glad I never got in a podcast with Dan. I would have never heard the end of it. He would have harassed me. He would have harassed me so bad. Listen, I am very I'm very glad it turned out the way that it did. It didn't end up hurting us too bad in the grand scheme of things. And he didn't get a ring, and now he's making veteran minimum. So congrats, Andre Drummond. You're doing a good thing. So doing a good thing. Anyways, anything else, Justin?
I think that about does it. Like, there are a couple other teams I liked. I think the Heat had an interesting offseason. Like, I think they're going to be good next year. I think the Nets, I've liked the pieces that they've added. James Johnson, Bruce Brown signing his qualifying offer is interesting. Patty Mills, obviously. So I think the East is going to be good next year. I think the East is going to have a lot of really, really good teams.
Yep, I agree. So that means Cavs aren't making the playoffs. All right.
Cavs are going to be better, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think that's all. Okay, so Thursday they play, so we'll try to do an episode Thursday or Friday. Hopefully we'll be talking about the USA going to the gold medal game, and we'll go from there. All right, Justin?
All right.
All right, well, once again, thanks, Justin, for hopping on, and to everyone out there, we'll catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com/teampricing to learn more. That's ARYSE.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.